Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is Claudia, aka Miss Copywriter, and today we are joined by Kristen Smith, the Black Techie, for another episode of Hashtag Women in Tech. So today we're going to talk a little bit about Kristen's journey, what it's like to be a female in tech, and how she got there. So Kristen, welcome.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you again for this opportunity. I'm excited to really empower somebody today and to leave somebody better than when they came before they listened to this interview.
Absolutely. So we all start off in the beginning of this just to find a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are. And then towards the end, we'll talk a little bit of inspiration. You got this kind of vibes, okay?
Yeah, most definitely. The beginning. My journey, my beginning is very interesting. I pretty much am born and raised from Baltimore, Maryland, if you can tell by my strong, thick accent. Typical girl next door was the girl in high school who was the athlete, who was the morning mic person, you know, was on the choir. Like, I was literally the girl next door. Like, everybody knew me. I don't want to say I was ultimately popular, but I was friendly with jocks, friendly with the nerds. Like, I was literally cool with everybody.
Yeah.
And going to college and, you know, finishing with college, I went to Hampton University for undergrad. I really was on this mission to save the world, but I didn't necessarily know how, right? So it was just like, okay, you go and you do what typical college people do, you change your major a few times. I'm like, okay, well, this is it. I think I might be interested in this and blah, 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 whatever, right? But as time, you know, overlapped and time got away, you know, I ended up getting a BA in psych. Like I said, I was really on this mission to go change the world. But as I was changing the world as a juvenile probation officer, which is so unlikely.
Wow. Yeah.
Like I had the most vital kids in Baltimore City. And like they loved me. I had all males. They loved me and knew Miss Smith did not play. Like I used to tell them, like, look, if I got to take y'all as the court, like it's going to be an issue. But at the same time, it's going to be like, look, you're going to respect me. Okay.
Right.
Never an issue. But I was still struggling to try to really find my passion because I knew I loved the kids. I didn't love the political bureaucracy that came with it.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I was always fixing stuff around my office. Like I was always fixing my software, fixing a colleague's software. And, you know, I started really thinking about my earlier days, you know, when I was a child. My mom's a retired Baltimore City public school teacher. Every summer from like ages 6 to at least 10, she brought home the first old school Apple. I'm talking about the brown box.
Box, yes.
And the box, and you were like, yes, like you knew you came up when you had that box, right?
Right.
And the next one with the little blue cube, you just knew, like, yeah, I got an Apple at home. And then my mother like, shh, girl, you ain't supposed to be telling these people we got it at home. So, you know, for the most part, it was just going back to those moments as I'm in my office fixing these computers and I'm like, why am I here? So I left the state in 09, you know, had got out of a relationship, was trying to figure out what the hell am I about to do with my life. Like I literally took a few months, you know, of course, helped with some family businesses. I worked for one of my cousins and it was just like, I still wasn't fulfilled. Mm-hmm. And then in the back of my mind, technology kept calling and I was like, okay, if you're going to go work for somebody, work for the best of the upper echelon. So I went to go apply for Apple.
Yeah.
And that was like an interview process and trying to go to Harvard. I kid you not. I had 6 interviews. I had 2 group panels. I had 4 additional interviews all the way up until like the regional person.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, damn, if I could have did this, I could apply to Harvard.
Right.
I did all that, you know, but I got in and I was automatically enamored and I became more obsessed and I realized that, okay, I'm in the right place, you know? So I came in as a position they call genius administrator and you're basically in charge of the technicians. You and the manager work together. So I learned management tools. I learned systems. I learned inventory. I learned processes. I learned all that stuff from the start. And then I started realizing that Apple gave me the blueprint to create my own path. So then I changed and became a technician. Mm-hmm. And that opened up my world to understanding software even greater. So left Apple because right in 2012, most devastating thing I had in my life, I had 2 very close family members pass 6 months apart to the day. One of my cousins was battling throat cancer. He passed. 6 months later, my dad passes. And I'm just like, all right, God, like I can't make sense of this. I'm not the most emotional person, but these 2 losses kind of hit me hard. So then it was more so a moment, what are you going to do now? Like, where is going to be your next path? So, you know, I took that time to try to nourish myself and try to work through grief. Didn't work. I don't advise that for anybody. But yeah. The end of 2012, like right after this, I literally had to start piecing my life back together. Like mm-hmm. I was staying with a family member here in Atlanta at the time. You know, she was getting ready to rent out her house. And I was like, well, where am I going to go? Like, no right. job. At this point, I had literal savings, like enough to last me for a few. I'm telling my mom, like, you need to co-sign on this loan. I need to get an apartment. I'm thinking about school. I'm like, I gave my dad all these promises, and it was just chaos. And in 2013, the stones and the building blocks started coming back together. Mm-hmm. Got a new apartment in February, got a job in May or June, got into grad school at Georgia Tech. And I was like, okay, things are starting to make sense. I'm in class, I'm learning. And, you know, fast forward to 2014, I graduate, have all these amazing interviews, and I didn't go to like five of them. I told my mom, I was like, I don't know what this is inside my spirit, but I was like, I don't think I'm supposed to be here. I'm going to figure it out. Because I had a few jobs at this time. I went and worked for the state and felt like I was, you know, I didn't see anybody like me mm-hmm. in my age range. A lot of people were much older. They were cushioning their jobs. Didn't want that. And, you know, your parents tell you, go get you a great 9-to-5 and go work and you go retire. But I was like, I wasn't trying to hear all that. I didn't think that was my mission. Mm-hmm. And so then, you know, we get here 2014. I graduate and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go do this myself. If all the skills that I've learned from Apple, from the state, from a private school I worked here for in Atlanta, mm-hmm. I can take all these skills and go use them myself. And, you know, slowly but surely, 2015 came around. We're climbing 2016, 2017, and here we are going into the latter end of 2018, and I've been still able to sustain. I've had great, amazing clients. I've gotten a lot of speaking opportunities. I've made myself visible, but if I didn't go through all the things that I went through prior, nobody would really know my name and really know a piece of my story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I tell people all the time, like, there's so much more to me than these yellow frames. There's so much more to me than being online. Like, I really feel like I'm so dope offline.
Yeah.
You know, it's just to let people know, like, yeah, like, we all have a story and it is truly meant to be told. And honestly, that's really where my passion for technology became enamored. Like I said, it came to that 6-year-old little girl in Baltimore in her mom's house, and that computer came on. That changed everything to being 36 now and so enamored with software, partnering with tech companies, you know, creating things like that. For 30 years, that drive, that initiative has always been in me. It was dormant for a while, but I had to really go through certain experiences in life to really showcase, like, I can be a representative for people of color. I can be a representative for women of color in tech and say, hey, you know what? I'm Black just like you.
Yeah.
I have an accent. I'm not from where I'm located, but I still made my own path, you know? So that's definitely a little bit about my story. And I hope that anybody, you know, listening to this really understand that we all have a story that we need to tell.
No, absolutely. I mean, and it's commendable. Like you said, sometimes we just have to be broken in order to be rebuilt and find our footing. And especially in tech, so if we could kind of go a little bit back to some of the experiences that you've had to led you where you are now. Obviously the passing of a couple of your family members, which my condolences, because
thank you.
You know, I feel, trust me. Yeah. But just what, at that moment, when obviously you said you're trying to self, you know, mm-hmm. bring yourself out of it, but you know, you need that support. What was it that you think helped give you that pivot to be able to say, you know what, this is it. This is what I need to do. It might not be where you are now, but there's that pivot. What was that pivot for you that helped you push forward?
Yeah, honestly, for me, I think the most pivotal moment, there were two for me. The first actually was when my dad died. It's funny because he died on the 3rd of September. And if anybody's a Temptations fan, you know, when they talk about Papa was a Rolling Stone, it was that date. And fun fact, that was one of his favorite songs. So I laugh and it's weird, but I laugh at it too.
Yeah.
But we had a conversation 3 weeks before he died, and we were really talking about life. I was at this point for the last 6 months, I was traveling back and forth from Baltimore to Atlanta. It was crazy.
Wow.
And we had this conversation, me and him in the hospital, it's just me and him. Mm-hmm. And I walked in and he smiled and his nurse was like, oh, you must be happy to see your child today. So, you know, we're just having conversation and he calls me Chris. And, you know, most of my family does too. And he's just like, Chris, you're like, I don't even know why you're here. Like, you need to go back to Atlanta. You're happier there. Like, I'm going to go and I'm going to die happy. He said, I just want you to make sure you go and live your life. I'm like, Dad, you know, at this point, you're not thinking about nothing. He's like, man, shut the hell up. I ain't trying to hear nothing that you're saying, right? But he was just like, you know, he told me and reminded me of something he said when I was in high school as an athlete. He always taught me to protect my star player. I knew what that meant on the court, but I didn't understand how that transitioned off the court in life. And basically protecting my star player meant when I was in high school, you always let the athlete that you're playing against, you're blocking, you're guarding, let them know, hey, my presence is here. Regardless of what you see on the exterior, you don't know how much of a warrior that I am. Mm-hmm. You don't know how strong I am. You don't know how valuable I am to my team, even to myself. Mm-hmm. So that translated into life, like after you die, like, okay, like I have to find that warrior. I have to find that strength to realize, what am I going to do? And then the second instance happened at my last job. I was one of few, maybe about 4 African-Americans out of a team of about 25 or 30.
Okay.
And there was a situation that happened. I was off. So it was like a Friday moment. Like, I got blamed for something and I wasn't even there.
Of course.
And, you know, I come back to work and one of the guys that I used to work with was like, you know, I'm going to give you a heads up. They're going to have a meet with you about such and such. I'm like, I wasn't even here yesterday. So they're like, yeah, but somebody tried to drag you in. And I was like, okay. So immediately when that happened, had this meeting with my dean of technology, the associate dean, and my direct manager, and 3 white people, 1 black person in the room. Mm-hmm. I immediately felt the energy shift. I didn't like the conversation because my only point to them was that I appreciate you bringing this to my attention because I'm courteous and I'm cordial. Right. I said, but I wasn't even here when none of this happened. Mm-hmm. I was off. And, you know, well, such and such said that such and such teacher blamed. And I'm like, I still was not here.
Right.
So how am I being blamed and judged for a situation that was not even under my account, not even under my disposal?
Right.
I left off campus to go to work. I called my mom. I mean, left off campus for lunch, rather. I called my mom. I said, I think I'm going to put in my 2 weeks notice. And she said, what? Blah, blah, blah. She just fussed. This is my first semester of grad school, mind you. Mm-hmm. This is in the fall of 2013. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't feel like I'm valued. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like they understand my worth. And I need to let myself know I understand mine.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm freelancing. Some side money was coming in. I was like, I'm going to be all right, but I need to put this notice in. I came back, had a meeting with them. I gave them my letter. Mm-hmm. And instead of them saying I could take 2 weeks, they said, oh, well, you can clean out your desk today. I knew in that moment I did the right thing. Yes. I knew in that moment that is exactly where I did not need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the pivot, like, okay, you got what you asked for. It might not have come out in the situation that you like, but once again, where is this warrior, protector, star player? What is it that you're going to do that is going to be defining in this moment? Because at the end of the day, you're in school now. You don't have time to really be messing around. You got to really get things together. Mm-hmm. And to me, those mental shifts, those emotional shifts were something that I could never take back, but they were the best fuel for the fire. And for me, it was like, if I did not do those 2 things or have those 2 things happen, I really don't know if I would have as much of a drive as I do today. And I wouldn't know if they would be as detrimental to my success as they have been. So to me, I look at those 2 examples and it's crazy because I have a very vivid memory. I remember what I was wearing. I remember what the day was like. I remember the smell in the air. You know, when you think about all that stuff and you take that into consideration, it is definitely something where you're like, you know what? This is it.
Yeah.
This is the pivotal moment that said it's time to go left. You know, so that definitely will be the 2 top experiences for me for sure.
Well, definitely shifters for sure.
Yeah.
Wow. Amen. So you mentioned as you had called your mom with regards to right before they were like, yeah, go ahead, clean your desk. You had mentioned you had some different side projects, if you will, going on, side hustles going on. Do you think, and now was that in the tech space, or do you think that that helped pivot you or push you towards where you are today?
Well, majority of it was tech. It was like consulting. I was consulting people on different systems. I was really working with a lot of DJs and promotional entertainment people back in the Baltimore area. I was doing work for people that nobody really knew about. I also was doing randomly some social media marketing, but it was not from the strategy perspective. It was from the automation perspective. So it was real still technically based.
Yeah.
I had put myself on Fiverr. I had put myself on Odesk. Like, I was on a lot of different platforms, but I was just saying that's that. And then I had people introducing people to me. So then started, you know, having those conversations. So that's pretty much what I did to really put myself out there, just because I was like, if I don't do it, yeah, nobody is going to know who I am, and I won't be able to monetize from it, and I won't be able to provide real expertise either.
Right, right. No, absolutely. So where was it in getting into tech? So I know we mentioned six-year-old Kristen and the yes. Max, you know, yes. But where was it, where you are, to put you where you are today, what would you say your specialty was that, and I know I won't let the cat out of the bag, I'll let you do that, but where do you put your specialty, your bread and butter from a tech space with the services that you offer today?
Well, I honestly feel like, fun fact, this came from when I was a probation officer. I learned a lot more about systems. I learned about workflows. I learned about automation. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like I learned about other tactics while I was being a probation officer, because I had to learn those systems. Mm-hmm. I had to understand how, when cases came in from the court system, how they were automatically put in the system, how they were categorized, how they were tagged, how were they delegated. I really started learning about it at that point. Even with Apple too, I can go even a step further. Apple, I learned about inventory management. I learned about Kronos. I learned about scheduling management. I learned about processes and workflows when it came to parts coming in, technicians working on them, saying that it was ready for pickup. Like, I really learned about that there too. And when I worked as a probation officer. So, you know, during those times, because I started becoming a probation officer in about 08. Mm-hmm. So when you look at it from that, I'm sorry, 07. When you look at it from that perspective, from 07 to 2012, that was 5 years of experience that I had with systems, with automation, with workflows. I had already that under my belt, and nobody didn't even know it. Hell, mm-hmm. I didn't even realize it sometimes. I think right. that it was like, when you look back, and I was like, I did really learn about all this stuff. But where it leads me today is that, yes, I am proficient in business systems. I am proficient in business systems and automations. I am proficient in automations and workflows. And email marketing came as a learned skill, because I needed to do it for myself. I paid to get certified in, you know, ConvertKit, and I really started studying it for the last 4.5 years. Sales funnels came because I learned that 4.5 years ago too. So I would say my specialty would definitely be email marketing and systems and sales funnels, but even more so with automation, workflows, and processes, because you can have all of those cores at the moment, but mm-hmm. if you don't know how to utilize them and set them up properly, it's pretty much just like null and void. Yep. So that's what I would say pretty much my specialties were, but definitely being a probation officer, learning those systems, and also working for Apple too, that helped out a lot as well.
Wow. So you basically said systems is the shit. I mean, hey, it is what it is, right?
It is. Absolutely.
So I know you're doing a little bit of a rebrand, if you will. Can we kind of touch a little bit upon what that looks like for you now, and what that may look like for you in 2019?
Yeah. So originally online, if you follow me, I was known as the BizTechpreneur, and that happened based on a conversation I had with a former mentor at the time. And she was just like, you know, well, you're biz and you're tech, so why don't you just call yourself the BizTechpreneur? I was like, okay, it's cool. It was rhyme with it. And it was real, you know, basic as far as content. I was speaking, I was working with people, but then probably like last year around this time, I was like, I don't know if going into 2018 of the BizTechpreneur is going to fit anymore. I was like, I'm shifting, I'm growing. I kind of stalled that process. It was like, okay, we'll keep riding with the BizTechpreneur.
Yeah.
Then in like April, like, I just had this major epiphany, like, if you don't shift now, mm-hmm. you're going to be forced to shift, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, what does the BizTechpreneur do? She's very general. She's working with, you know, service-based business providers. You know, she's giving general content information. But the Black techie needs to be an ambassador for Blacks in tech, especially Black women. Mm-hmm. The Black techie needs to show that there are Blacks in tech who are very successful. The Black techie needs to be a mentor. She needs to be an ambassador. Mm-hmm. She is me, and I've always been all of those things. So I said, okay, you know, finally in September and August, I was like, we're going to shift this. Mm-hmm. We're going to slowly start moving the pieces together. Now, could I have a better strategy and plan? Yes. But was it a necessity? And like, if I didn't go, I was going to stall it out another year? Yes. Mm-hmm. So it was more so like, okay, definitely just tweaked. I have a temporary logo at the moment just because I wanted to really make sure from a heart space it was right. Switching the domain, switching the email addresses, making sure that even from a physical perspective as far as social media content, I'm creating the right things. Like, I realized I should have been creating videos. I should have been on YouTube. But then I think about it, all the content that I would have had previously would have been great. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it would have really fit where I am now. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in the process creating my new YouTube intro video. I'm creating my new IGTV. Like, I'm going to be a lot more video. So, like, yeah, you see cute little static piece and post to me like, yeah, girl, that's get ready to go. Mm-hmm. I really have to be more of technical content creation. And I also have to talk about issues that are in the tech community for people of color, especially for women of color. Like, Zan, like I said this before, I felt very devalued, very overlooked in majority of the positions I got after Apple. Mm-hmm. Like, that is the one thing I can honestly say about Apple. Apple is very, very cohesive when it comes to minorities, people of color, sexual orientation. It doesn't really matter. They are open to all flavors, okay? Mm-hmm. But when it comes to working in state government, there weren't a lot of millennial. Well, I'll call myself a zillennial because I'm at the top of the millennial thing.
Me too.
But, you know, so yeah, like, when you look at us, there wasn't a lot of me. Like, it literally, I was one of two people. Mm-hmm. And even the other woman that was younger, she was at least 8 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're still having conversations about, like, why is the state of Georgia using Windows 98 and it's damn near 2012? And you have all these other systems, like, why haven't y'all upgraded to this? And then bringing my Apple app expertise in there, they're mm-hmm. still using iPads at the time from like 2010 or 2009. It was 2013. I'm like, why hasn't all this stuff? And I'm like, I thought the state of Maryland was bad. And right. So I came down here like, what the hell is this? So, you know, at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, I didn't really feel like anybody had my back. I was in Georgia Tech learning great things in my management technology concentration for my MBA. Mm-hmm. I had great ways for cost savings. I was shut down. I pretty much was overlooked. It took me going to a higher upper because I was working on something, and then just her seeing it, mm-hmm. sharing the conversation, and then saying, well, we'll table this. And now some of the stuff that, you know, they have done, I think, over the recent few years since I've gone, were stuff we talked about when I was there. Wow. So, you know, you see everything trickle and have this effect. But, you know, I was very undervalued, very overlooked. It was very frustrating because you didn't have a true advocate. Even the African-Americans that were there, they were more so settled in their positions that they didn't really want to help the next generation. It wasn't like, let's reach out and touch them. It wasn't like that for me. So it was I hated going to work every single day. But at that point, things hadn't propelled business-wise. So, like, I had to do what I had to do to just make sure the bills were still on. I could still use the internet to do whatever. Right. But I didn't feel like anybody was advocating for me. So when I thought about my next chapter of this journey, I wanted to make sure, like, yes, we can have those conversations about being Black in tech. We can have those conversations about being a Black woman in tech, how they always look at, you know, the males first that are Black, right. And then they come to us.
Yep.
Oh, what do you think, Chris? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Kristen? I'm like, are you serious? Like, you went through like five other people before you even asked me right. my opinion. And right. it does need to be an open conversation. One of the mentors in my head, because I love her, is Kimberly Bryan from Black Girls Code.
Yep.
And she has been over the last 2 years, at least, if you follow her timeline on Twitter, she's always talked about equality. And now more people are now catching mm-hmm. this new wave and seeing how it's a problem. So what's happening? You have a lot of Blacks in tech, especially Black women, going to create their own just because they don't want to feel undervalued or feeling overlooked anymore. And it's something, when I thought about this brand shift, like, I have to put myself out there and use my platform to the best of my ability, because I have all these people watching me. I have these tech companies looking at me, and I'm glad that some of the tech companies are open to this idea. Like Ryan Carson from Treehouse, he's yeah. a dope guy.
Yes, he's
like one of the best allies ever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's my intention to put this out there that I want to work with him in 2019 and figure out how can I use my voice and my platform to help you get more engineers?
Yes.
How can I help you get more data analysts? How can I help you get more computer scientists? How can we use our platforms together for the cause? Because he's always looking to hire Blacks in tech. It never fails.
Yeah.
And it's not about some quota for him. It's not about some, well, let me just do this good duty so I can get into heaven. It ain't like that with Ryan. It's just straight authenticity. He's really serious about the mission. So that's people that I want to work with. So that's why the shift from the biz techpreneur, from the Black techie, needed to be rebranded. That's why I've been taking my time with it. And the plans for 2018 is just to dominate. Like, I'm a very humble person by nature, but I feel like at the same time, I'm the shit. So, you know, when you start really getting into that mind frame, like, yo, Chris, you know what? Look at yourself in the mirror, like, you dope. You are dope. So now I'm getting to that mindset, like, and then now I'm having people confirm that, and I will never forget where I came from. Yeah. But now that I realize, like, I got to start creating more content. So video is going to be huge for me in 2019. Like, you will definitely see me on IGTV, definitely see me on YouTube. I plan to host some conferences next year. I'm planning to host my own. And, you know, I'm trying to work with partners for, you know, Treehouse. Maybe we can do a city tour to hire more engineers, hire more staff for them. I'm trying to work out something with Basecamp, Jason Fried and DHH, great co-founders. They're really great guys. I love the mission and vision of their company. Trying to see with Nathan Berry and ConvertKit if I can do something with them. Possibly Russell Brunson and Todd Dickerson with ClickFunnels. Like, I'm trying to partner with the right people who want to be behind this message. Yes. And at the same time, I can affect change with and actually tell my community, these are the products you want to use. Not only are they going to help your business, mm-hmm. but not only that. And I'm kind of also, in a sense, shifting to work more with Blacks in tech. A lot of them need people like me to say, look, I can tell you about all the business stuff, but yeah. let's talk about you and what your mission is. Let's talk about your business and your brand. I'm not saying I'm getting into coaching and consulting. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is that I can serve as a great mentor and say, look, here's what's happened for me. I've been at the 9-to-5 game. I've started myself. I've had, here's where I messed up at. Here's what's done great. You know, at the end of the day, it's really just, you know, figuring out why this rebrand was so important then and right. now seeing where 2019 is. So I definitely plan to be more vivid online. Definitely will be doing live streams still, but video is going to be huge. Like, I'm definitely intending that my YouTube channel really blows up, and hopefully YouTube will send me one of those little pretty plaques.
Yes.
Yeah, over those subscribers, because they cute and they send you stuff and all that stuff. But yeah, that's the plan for 2019. I'm really excited about it because this was a delay, but it was not necessarily a denial right. in the plan, you know? So, but I'm excited about 2019 for sure.
No, definitely. I mean, you definitely have a lot of things in the works and a lot of things to come. So that's amazing. The fact that you want to continue to highlight and showcase, especially women in tech. I mean, mm-hmm. like you said, you're right. It is very, we are very overlooked, yeah. underappreciated, undervalued.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the fact that you're on this mission and you are trying to connect with the right types of companies, brands, people to get that message, to amplify it, girl, more power to you. That's right on track.
Yeah, I mean, it needs to be done. I feel like that there are a lot of amazing women of color in tech, especially the Black ones, and they are awesome. But there are so many areas in tech. Mm-hmm. It's like you could get overwhelmed trying to figure out who to navigate and follow.
Right.
I'm looking to represent the service-based providers. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking to, for even, I'll say, the digital product-based providers, and I'm talking about infopreneurs or even apppreneurs or SaaS people. Those are the people I'm looking to target. Like, I'm not saying I'm going to be the person like, yeah, you want venture capitalists to follow me? No, that ain't my ministry. You got other people for that. What I'm saying is that the people who want to have sustainable business models, the people who want to have, you know, great content to provide, the people who want to use their systems and teach other people how to do that too. Like, I really want to work with those people, because even though if they're not exactly where they need to be, there's still ways to go, and there are people that are on this planet that can help you. And I want to make sure that I focus specifically on that niche and not overstep my boundary. Like, my mom always says, and it's funny to me, honey, that ain't my ministry. I heard her say that once in a conversation. I don't remember what I asked her. My mother's just comical. But, you know, I was just like, okay, that's not your ministry. Good job. And I was like, I'm going to use that one, but okay.
I like, you know,
there are certain areas in tech that are not my ministry. I'm not going to sit up here and talk about database management. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit up here and talk about UX. I'm not going to sit up here and talk about UI. That ain't my thing. Right. What I want to talk about is, you want to talk about system infrastructure, you want to talk about processes, you want to talk about automation, workflows, whether it's business systems or email marketing, yes. Sales funnels, yes. I'm going to talk about that. That's yeah. going to be my lane. That's where I'm staying. I'm not going nowhere. That's it. And in all actuality, that's the whole sales funnel system right there. All those pieces I said. So that's where I'm staying. I'm not moving. And like, I know my lane and my space, and I'm cool with that. Yeah. I'm not one of these greedy people who have to be everywhere, because mm-hmm. then that drives people crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm driving nobody crazy. Like, I don't want to do that. So right. for me, I'm staying in my lane. I'm sticking to it. I know what I'm good with. And that's what the Lord blessed me with. So I'm going to stay there, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, the vibes, the vibrations, the just it's there. You could tell that you're passionate about it. You're putting your all in it. And I know you're going to see it through. There's no question about it. So 2019, like, y'all need to get on it. Go follow her at the Black Techie on Instagram. Are you on Twitter?
Also? Yeah, I'm on Black Techie at Twitter too. Facebook is coming up and popping, because Facebook is not really, honestly, one of my platforms mm-hmm. or my community. Really, mm-hmm. most of my people are on Instagram, and I do have followers on Twitter and stuff like that. But that's pretty much where you can find me. YouTube. Definitely mm-hmm. come soon. IGTV, sooner than you guys think. Like, probably when you see this interview, probably the intro video will be up sooner than later. So, awesome. Yeah, that's where I'm going to definitely be on YouTube heavy. So, definitely we want to make sure. Just follow me on Instagram. You get usually most of my updates there.
Okay, so we're definitely going to put down some links below where people can connect with you. Now, I did have one question before we wrap it up here. So, we went through your journey. I mean, like I said, you definitely have some trajectory going. So, I'm blessed and you got it. That's what that one is. But here's my question to a younger version of you, let's say 6-year-old you, or maybe 14-year-old you.
Okay.
What is the message that you would tell yourself now, tell your younger self then, in terms of what success looks like to you in technology?
Oh, 6-year-old Kristen. And I usually call myself Chris, because most people do. I would have told 6-year-old Chris that, your obsession with technology at that age was not unnatural. Mm-hmm. It was naturally fit for you. Mm. And at that moment, I knew, my mother used to have to pry me off that computer. Like, it was sad, but I loved it. And it was okay for me to love that and be involved in other things too, right?
Yeah.
So I would have told the 6-year-old Chris, like, you know what? That's not unnatural. It's naturally fit for you. 14-year-old Chris, I would have told her, you know, it's okay for girls to like tech stuff too. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're an athlete. Yes, you're doing all these things. I wish 14-year-old Chris had learned to code then. Mm-hmm. I think I would have been a beast who came to college. But everything happens for a reason. But, you know, it's okay for girls to like tech stuff too. It's okay for girls to have curiosity about technology, where it can go, what it can do. It's okay, you know, to do all of those things and just explore them. I would have told her that then. It would have been okay to do that. Like, people wouldn't have called you a geek. You wouldn't have been a nerd. You wouldn't have been, you know, any other names that they call some of these younger girls now.
Yeah.
You totally erase those of your mind. What you're doing is setting yourself up for your future. And you might not can see it right now. And you might be like, well, I want to go to basketball practice, but even just spending 30 minutes of time, maybe an hour a week, that would have set you up for so much success in the future. So I really would have told my younger self that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Wow. So good messages. I mean, and definitely one of the things that I'm doing with this series is I want to be able to get those messages out. They go in highlights. They go in Instagram posts. They go on Facebook, like, because the young girls need to hear it. They need to hear that it is okay. Like you said, it is perfectly fine. It is okay. And I just think that the mission that you're on and what you're looking to bring to the table will definitely, definitely have impact, have the shift that you're looking for, and actually build up both Black women in tech, but just Blacks in tech, minorities in tech, people in tech, right, that want to make the system that they have for their business sound, solid, make sense. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I mean, my last piece would tell the Blacks in tech and also the Black women in tech, your delay right now of what you're trying to figure out is not a denial. I know some of you are probably frustrated where you are because you're not feeling value. You're feeling overlooked. You're feeling sometimes even embarrassed and humiliated because somebody is not really taking what you're saying at face value. Mm-hmm. It's not a denial. It is just simply a delay in what it is that you're supposed to be doing. So, You know, I am always here, and I know the links will be below the video. I am very interactive in my DMs as long as y'all slide appropriately. I am definitely here to talk to anybody who wants to have conversation, because sometimes you don't have anybody to talk to because they don't get it. And I understand what I didn't have anybody to talk to because nobody got it around me. So I always said I would never let that void be left when it came close to my turn. Because, of course, like, I'm not where I desire to be. But even if I can be used in interim, yeah, until that point, like, that would be one of the sounding pieces that I could actually give people, especially Blacks in tech and Black women in tech.
Wow. Well, Kristen, I appreciate you coming on. Just the words, the story, your journey, your message, your passion, all of it. I mean, I definitely say this is one to hit the rewind, maybe put it on like 1X, because I know I talk fast.
Yeah, I do too. It happens. But yeah, y'all need to slow this down. It's cool. I get it. Blame that to my Baltimore upbringing, okay?
It's not a problem. Well, Kristen, definitely thank you for joining us on Hashtag Women in Tech. You guys can check out her at the Black Techie on Instagram, and we're going to post a couple of other links that she provides to us, her YouTube, her intro, her IGTV, her Twitter, all of that, all those goodies are going to be there. You guys can check out the latest interview at misscopywriter.com/WIT, and we could definitely connect with you there. So Kristen, again, thank you very much. We appreciate you being on this particular series, especially the fact that we're highlighting Blacks in Tech, so yay!
Yes, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity once again, and I hope you guys love this interview and took something away from it, most definitely.
All right, I'll talk to you shortly. Bye, guys.